You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and we're doing our new MI Tech News TV. Still getting all the bugs worked out, but we're doing our best here. Matt Rausch is again tied up with that darn day job of his. I keep telling LTU to leave us alone on Monday, but Bruce won't listen. So I guess he's got to get paid, right? All right, so we have in studio today, we have Kasten Thomas, who has many titles. He's the co-host of Internet Advisor, which I have been off and on for, I don't know, 15 or 20 years now, I guess.
Yeah, I know, and hearing that intro with Foster's voice just sends shivers down my spine.
Yes,
and,
yes,
unfortunately. Sadness in the heart.
He passed last October, I believe.
January.
January, was it? Okay.
Yeah, sorely missed.
Yes. The other title he has, he's president of Interwork Networks, and he's a cybersecurity specialist. So one of the things that we're going to be discussing here is why the way the internet was designed with a fatal flaw. Tell us all about it.
Well, you know, the internet goes all the way back to the early 70s when a government organization, ARPANET, began experimenting with 70 sites, actually two or three, but very quickly it grew to 70 universities. And what's called the protocols, the way the sites talk to each other, these were trusted sites. And the internet caught on, and they didn't build security into it. And by the time it had caught off, all these protocols were already in place. So that's why we face this world where we have so many security problems. You know, I liken it to the Klingons really figured out long ago how we ought to cloak the network. And so cloaking is a new way, which should have been incorporated way back when because we knew how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't get in there before the internet literally exploded throughout the world.
So now we have a new host identity protocol that fixes these problems?
Yeah. A lot of people are familiar with IPv6, mm-hmm. Which increased the address space. That was another problem with the original setup of the internet. And Vint Cerf, the father of the internet protocol.
I thought that was Al Gore.
No, No. This is the guy who actually wrote the thing.
Ah, okay.
He gets credit. He's now the chief technology evangelist for Google, and he's put his stamp of approval on this approach.
Mm-hmm.
But that host identity protocol, what it does technically is it separates the identity of a device from the location of the device.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like having a bank. And somebody said, go rob a bank, says to the hacker, go rob a bank. Okay, which one?
Right.
Well, I'm not going to tell you. And they're not going to answer the door. And as a matter of fact, you can't even see the bank
mm-hmm.
unless you already have all the security codes in order to know where to go to rob the bank.
Right.
So this idea, we're having great success with some really large organizations. The U.S. Navy is actually using it for cloaking the communications ship to ship. Airlines are using it for uploading and downloading their information to the planes when they're at the gate.
Navigation, yep. Flight information, manifests, all
yep.
that.
ATM networks. There's a large utility not too far from us who's actually using it both for their smart grid and for their meter. I can't say anything more than that.
Right, okay. Secret. So, okay. It could be that other one, but we won't talk about either one of those. Okay. So it's a revolutionary impact, essentially cleaning up the mess that started with DARPANET way back when, right?
Mike, I tell people this is the biggest change to the way we communicate on the internet since the invention of the web browser.
Yeah.
It's that significant from a security standpoint. And the protocol that went through the standards bodies that display this or set this mm-hmm. for the world internet mm-hmm. is actually Bob Moskowitz, and he's right here in Michigan developing this protocol.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he who's he work with or for?
I believe he has his own company, but he's done when I met him back in the mid 80s, mm-hmm. he was on contract to Chrysler, and he's done all kinds of security for Verizon and any number of people. He's recognized as one of the smartest men in internet technology out there.
Okay, I guess it was a recent announcement from Microsoft about how IoT is being used to launch potentially even deadlier cyber attacks, just what we need, right?
Yeah, yeah. Microsoft released a lot of information. I'm skeptical when things get blamed on, you know, the Russians did it. It's almost like this cop-out of saying, oh, we can't defend it from the guys sitting in their basement.
Right.
You know, it had to be the Russians. But Microsoft actually gave a lot of authoritative information that lends credibility that nation states are going after the IoT devices uh-huh. and using that for launching points into other parts of the network, because, you know, some of them have very, very powerful computers and they aren't protected the way our PCs are
right.
because they don't have that real estate on the silicon in order to provide security to those devices.
Okay. So why is Michigan primed to develop and exploit these technologies? Why are we positioned for this?
Oh, gosh. Just so many reasons. I mean, just Bob Moskowitz is having the presence here and being so instrumental. This protocol isn't just for the internet. It's for IoT. It's mm-hmm. for connected cars.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got
which is a big security concern in and of itself.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, when we talk about connected car, the first connected cars were built here in Michigan as mm-hmm. a part of OnStar.
Right.
And, you know, we see Silicon Valley getting all of this attention and press, but, you know, they're the ones that you read about in these bad incidents. There's really a solid engineering core, both on the network, the security, and the vehicle side to really focus on this. And you know, I'm an evangelist for this protocol. We're working with large organizations, hospitals for medical devices. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a core of resources here and capital to do things like Duo did with security. This really gets at the core of the network.
Yeah, the dual factor. And I know, having written about most of the different players who are trying to defend vehicles, that everyone has different approaches.
Absolutely.
3, 4, 5, 6 different approaches.
And God bless them. We need all those approaches right. working in combination of how to do that.
Right.
And from the ground up, you know, that's the encouraging thing about connected cars, is that the automotives, particularly here in Michigan, mm-hmm. have been very conscious that we need to build security at the baseline before we ever release anything. That's why you read about these bad things going on right. in other places. You sure. don't hear the big three. You know, you don't hear those automotive companies based here having the same kind of problems that you read about in the news.
Yeah, there's so many reasons people don't do their patches, they don't do their updates, they don't do this, they don't do that. All these CIOs and CISOs should be fired, right?
You know, so, no, I'm not going there. They've got a huge job ahead of them, and it's not just the patching. It's really, if you build it from the ground up, from mm-hmm. your culture, from the way that you develop your software, it becomes an entirely different game in the way you bring these products so that they don't need so much patching. Because patching does introduce uncertainty, because if you apply a patch just because it's new doesn't mean it's right. You right. may fix one thing and break two other
Microsoft's
things.
Microsoft's Patch Tuesday. They're always patching something, right?
Yeah, but that's just Hacker Thursday, right? Because
yeah,
they tell them what's wrong.
Just what, I've got 2 minutes left? All right, so quickly, you're going to talk about now a little bit how you can exploit this at InnoWorks here.
Oh, from our standpoint, we've identified a couple of companies that are doing IoT security. There are really three components mm-hmm. to doing solid industrial control systems, operational technology, IoT mm-hmm. side. This isn't the connected car side.
Okay.
This is what's going on in the factories, in the hospitals, in the power plants.
Mm-hmm.
This is how do you operationalize all these sensors and cameras and other devices mm-hmm. that are out there.
Sure.
So number one, you have to know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to crawl your network, you know, virtually, and identify all of those devices so that you can inventory them and classify them, know how they work, and then you can start applying the patches.
Okay.
So number two is really to cloak them, and then in the industry we call it micro-segment them so that they can't talk to each other because the hackers try to spread their tentacles throughout the network.
Sure.
So if we micro-segment it so that that device can only talk to the host that it needs to talk to, it can't get anywhere else.
Right.
Plus nobody can get to it.
Right.
And then the third thing is doing the patching, as you talked about, and the credentials, because way too many IoT devices still have the admin password on it.
Crazy.
And hackers know how to get to that.
Right.
So if you do those three things, you're 90% of the way there to securing IoT. The security of IoT is not as complex as the IT world.
Okay, I'm getting the 1 minute sign. So tell us how to tell these people how they can get in touch with you at Interworks.
You know, I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Kasten Thomas. That's the easy way to find me. Our website is iworkstech.com. That's iworks. TECH.com. I've been doing it for 20 years, and I still have to make sure that I get all the digits.
And he's also the co-host of Internet Advisor on WJR, which unfortunately, as we go into the fall, we'll be shifting around a bit because we have lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but we have lions and MSU, right?
You know what? It's kind of a rest. We get to go to podcast. So,
yeah,
you know, the stress of live radio is just wow.
Well, there you have it. So, Kasten Thomas, a man of many hats, he's to join us. I'm sure he'll join us again later this year, and we'll be right back with our next guest, Greg Doyle from Tech 248.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Set. Hey, we're back for the second segment on M Squared TechCast, now MI Tech News TV. Yes, we're evolving. Exciting. And everyone's wanted to know what Greg Doyle looks like. Well, here he is in the flesh. So,
how are you doing, Mike?
Going great. And what's the proper title? Are you manager of Tech 248, or what do I call it?
Well, actually, I'm responsible for the Oakland County Business Center, which provides small business and entrepreneurial services to Oakland County small businesses. So,
but your role with
I'm responsible. One of the things I'm responsible for is Tech 248.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now this may be the first time anyone's ever heard of Tech 248. You guys have been around for 4 years. Give us the shameless plug here.
Yeah, so Tech 248 is really about three things. It's about helping to connect our tech companies. It's about helping our tech companies with the talent issue. And it's really about helping tech companies brand Oakland County as a tech hub.
Yeah.
So we've been around for about 4 years. Now the network continues to grow. We're at about 1,800 people right now that are in the network.
Well, I know from when you first kicked off, some of the numbers you were citing was there's 4,000 tech companies in Oakland County, of which about half are small operations like my own. But there's a lot of big ones too, right?
Well, there's some pretty good sized ones, but really I would say, you know, it's closer to 90% are in what we would consider the smaller range, under 100 employees.
Yeah, that would definitely be me.
So yeah, you know, a tremendous amount of IT companies, digital media companies, you name it. So it really is a tech hub.
Now you have an event coming up called the Entrepreneur's Journey, and that's coming up this week, right?
It's actually tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
So I'm really excited about this because it's a new take on Tech 248. What we're trying to do with Tech 248 primarily is connect our entrepreneurs to each other. Mm-hmm. So we do these monthly meetups. You're aware of that, right, Mike? The meetups are attracting about 100 people per meetup, mm-hmm. and we rotate them around the county through the year. But we wanted to see if we could get something in a really even more local, smaller scale mm-hmm. with greater connectivity. And so we're looking at, we're piloting this idea of Tech 248 kind of partnering with some of our co-working spaces. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of co-working spaces across the community, and it's kind of a logical place for people to meet up, right? Mm-hmm. So part of the deal is, so what are they going to do when they meet there? Right. So we're developing some programming, and the first one is called the Entrepreneurial Journey.
Okay.
And it's really a small venue. It's going to be held at Incubizo in Ferndale. Mm-hmm. It's limited to 20 people. We're already sold out.
I'll bet, yeah.
And it's what it is a facilitated discussion with an experienced tech company CEO. So mm-hmm. somebody that's had a company for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the audience for it is really our tech companies that are, 5 years or less. Mm-hmm. And so it's giving them the opportunity to talk, hear about the stumbling blocks, roadblocks, things like that, that the more experienced CEO went through. So
I'm now on my 20th year. So
so you got it all handled.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's called constant pivoting, because things work for a while, yeah. then they don't, and you got to come up with something new. So video is where it's at. So that's our new thing.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. So you're going to have a planned Tech 248 special event around tech talent. Now, is that what you were just talking to, or is that different?
So that's different. So the Entrepreneurial Journey is just going to be 20 people, okay. and it's going to be a facilitated discussion mm-hmm. with an experienced tech entrepreneur. Uh-huh. So we're looking at a special event that's around talent pipeline management. Mm. You've heard a lot about the TPM program that the state is really pushing to try and do a better job of right. getting our students into the right path
sure.
and on to not move to California or Texas, but to
Chicago
here at home and work here. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is solicit from the Tech 248 network, what are some of the key areas where you're really having difficulty mm-hmm. Finding talent right now? And then what's kind of the background that those folks need? And we're hoping to solicit some of those Tech 248 business owners to really spend a little bit of time and work together with our workforce development people and actually Oakland schools uh-huh. to kind of develop what should that curriculum be that we should be providing to students.
I know there's been a big drive to get middle and high school kids, especially middle school kids, plugged into technology. For instance, this Michigan Science Center does the STEMinista program, which is middle school girls, get them all excited about tech, and then they begin to pursue that in high school and hopefully in college. Something on that yeah. level, right?
Yeah, right. So that's why we've got Oakland Schools involved in this. Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to see more momentum about really reaching down into the, grade school, middle school, high school level
right.
to get our students really involved in understanding that, hey, you can take this tech path and you can fulfill your dreams in that area right sure. here at home.
Okay. What's the latest on the Business Center? What's going on there?
The Business Center continues to rock. We see about 400 businesses a year, everything in every industry from, somebody that's a baker to a high tech industry.
Right.
In all stages from startup to some of these companies have been around for a number of years. So we really spend a lot of time, really, I would say, on three things. One is helping people start. Mm-hmm. And then the next is helping people grow.
Mm-hmm. That's the tricky part.
Yeah, and sometimes helping people turn around. They got in a little bit of trouble.
The other tricky part is get funded. A lot of times you have great ideas, but it takes more cash than you can muster on your own.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a lot of folks that hit that. They call it the valley of death.
Yes.
They put all of their resources into it, and they're just about there, and maybe they need another $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to get that prototype developed or right. whatever it might be.
Sure.
And so we're trying to help them bridge that.
That's kind of scary.
It's just one of the things we do.
So you're having a business of leadership development program for C-level folks kicking off in September.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things is we work with our larger businesses, mm-hmm. our larger small businesses.
Sure.
What we see really frequent basis is a need for just leadership development training.
Right.
A lot of folks have kind of been brought up through the ranks. They've never really had any management training. They've mm-hmm. never been in a management position before. Mm-hmm. So our Business of Leadership program is really designed to do that. We do it in two separate cohorts. One is for the managers inside a small business, mm-hmm. and then the other is just for the C-level.
Sure.
And so it's
C-level, define that real quick. That's CEO, CFO, CIO,
yeah,
all that jazz, right?
Yeah, so it's giving them an opportunity to get some great education. We partnered with our really capable HR department at Oakland County.
Right.
We customize it specifically for small business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it with a small group. So if you're a CEO, you're going to be there with, maybe 9 other CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience of just really kind of being able to see what other issues maybe they're going through,
sure.
and talk that out is invaluable.
Well, what I discover is a lot of small businesses, even bigger businesses, think they're going through this all by themselves. No one else has ever gone through this. And what you discover is everybody's gone through
it.
So.
I think it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day running the business. It's right. an intense thing, yeah. as you know really well, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of step back and say, okay, where is this all going and what could I do to improve? And,
yeah,
and that's the role that we fill.
Yeah, okay. So Rock in a Hard Place, piloting a partnership program with the Birmingham Bloomfield Chamber of Commerce. What's that all about?
Yeah, so Rock in a Hard Place is kind of self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you were talking about how as a business owner, you go through all of these trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
So what we wanted to do was put together a format where it's like almost like a peer support thing.
Sure.
But it's not a continuous, we're going to meet every week kind of thing. It's an opportunity for 10 business owners to get together and have a experienced business consultant
right.
That will facilitate a discussion just to say, hey, what's going on, Mike?
Right.
In the business right now, like, what's really bothering you right now? And
where do we
and
start, right?
Let's, yeah, and let's hear from some of the other business owners that they've been through something like that before and, right. and what they did.
Sure.
So we're starting that off as a partnership idea to go across the county with our other chambers.
Right.
But Birmingham Bloomfield is the first start. So mm-hmm. if it goes well there, we'll go on
to Troy,
Rochester, Southfield,
sure.
And other chambers. So it's great for us because the chambers are a great partner. In this case, Birmingham is bringing forward, 10 of their 10 of their members mm-hmm. to participate in this. Birmingham found the location for us. So the chamber has really done a lot of work, and we're going to hopefully provide some great value added in facilitating a great discussion with other CEOs so they can help each other out.
CEOs of what level of companies?
So we're looking really in this case at pretty inexperienced companies under 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be on the small side
sure.
as well. So yeah, those are the two. That entrepreneurial journey is a pilot thing for Tech 248,
mm-hmm.
and Rock in a Hard Place is a pilot that we hope is going to work, and we'll be moving that out to other chambers. The idea is try and get as many people involved and really help make more connections and continue to build what I think is a budding entrepreneurial community in Oakland County. So.
Well, you folks haven't let any grass grow under your feet there at the in Oakland County, have you?
No, not at all. I mean, we continue to listen to what the clients are telling us and see how we can make improvements and make things better for entrepreneurs to get to where they need to go to grow their business.
Got about 2 minutes left. Why don't you talk a little bit about how folks can reach out to you or 248 or get involved in any of these programs?
Sure. Probably the easiest thing to do would be go to our website, advantageoakland.com,
mm-hmm.
And just click on business, and you'll see a whole bunch of drop-down tabs about our different programs
mm-hmm.
and so on. If you want to get right to Tech 248, it's tech248.com,
mm-hmm.
And you'll get right to that page where it will talk about the entrepreneurial journey, and it will talk about the upcoming meetup that's going to happen in September as
mm-hmm.
well. So there's a lot of different ways that you can see. You can contact us. You can give me an email at doyleg@oakgov.com. So doyleg at oakgov.com. And it's another easy way to get in touch with us, and we'll get you, you know, centered in the right place.
Okay. So let's, we got, what, about a minute left, Jess? All right. So just real quickly, I know Tech 248 rotates around the county every month. You might be in the Northwest or the Southeast or the Central or wherever that might be, right?
Yeah. So in the summertime, we generally, because of vacations, right, we're generally not
gone dark
as active
in the summer.
Yeah.
And
so September, I need a cheat sheet here. September 19th, our next meetup will happen over at Search Optics in Ferndale.
Okay.
And that will kind of kick off our fall program. We'll be, I believe, down in the Troy area in the next month. And
okay.
So we will continue to roll with Tech 248.
All right. Greg Doyle from Oakland County and wears many hats, many titles, but you can find it all at one more time. What's that address?
AdvantageOakland.com or Tech248.com.
And we'll be right back with Emily Hines, who's going to tell us all about the wonderful new Detroit ecosystem in development.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan. We're back one more time, third segment of M Squared TechCast, which is now MI Tech News TV. Matt is out doing his LTU thing today. We got to talk to LTU about this. He keeps ditching us for his paid job. What's up with that, right? So I have with me Emily Hines. I've known Emily for a long time. She's had many titles, many lives. Let me get that a little closer to your mouth there. And right now she's the founder of Entry Point.
Yep.
And why don't you kind of describe what that is, as people may have not have heard of that.
Yeah. So right now I guess I shouldn't say right now. I'm the managing director of a company called Entry Point, and we do research on the entrepreneurial community. We publish quite a few reports, both internally and for clients that we work with, as well as work on community engagement events with the high-tech entrepreneurial ecosystem mostly. So Accelerate Michigan, the Michigan Venture Capital Association annual awards dinner.
And you worked for them for a number of years.
Yeah, I worked for the Michigan Venture Capital Association for 5 years. Yeah,
wow, I know it was a long time. So, and so now you've come out with the 2019 Detroit Entrepreneurial Ecosystem Report.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. I guess it's looking over the last 5 years. I mean, I've read the report.
Yeah.
But, and so we've actually made really great progress. And this is this downtown Detroit or metro Detroit?
Wayne County primarily, but there are a few places that we analyze downtown specifically.
Sure.
But mostly the high-tech entrepreneurial ecosystem in Wayne County is centered in Detroit. There are four companies that are outside of downtown Detroit, but or outside of Detroit City.
I know from experience when I worked at the Detroit Free Press in the 90s, there wasn't much going on in downtown Detroit.
Yeah.
And now it's like, wow. I mean, all these young people all the millennials want to work downtown. And
yeah, we're definitely seeing. So, I mean, if you look at Michigan, so we do the annual report for the Michigan Venture Capital Association as well. And when you look at the data for the high tech entrepreneurial ecosystem across Michigan, it's one of the fastest growing entrepreneurial ecosystems in the country.
Yes.
And in the last year, there were $385 million invested in, in roughly 40 companies across Michigan. But, the entrepreneurial community statewide is growing at about a 40% rate over the last 5 years.
Wow.
And what we're seeing in Detroit is that it was a 54% increase in just the last 5 years. So the high-tech entrepreneurial ecosystem in Detroit is growing quite a bit faster than the state average for the same period of time. And I think a lot of people are just you know, seeing that it, in the last economic downturn, I think Detroit was hit particularly hard.
Mm-hmm.
And slammed, a lot of people,
I think the word would be. Yes,
yeah. I was like, particularly hard. I was going to go a little nice, but yeah, so I think that a lot of people traditionally in Detroit had worked at the auto companies.
Right.
And I think that that created a lot of distrust at working at these more traditional places. A lot of people grew up where their parents were working at the auto companies. They
through,
went
through
to the
generation.
Work. Yeah, exactly. And so I think a lot of people then were like, you know, actually, like, let's find other ways. And
right.
a lot of people who might not normally have started a company around then decided to start companies. Around then also is when we started to see venture capital investment in Michigan, on an uptick.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's now 37 venture-backed companies located in Detroit, and in aggregate, they've raised about $400 million.
Wow.
So it's a lot of activity. It's across sectors. You see really cool companies like Bloomscape, which is a, you know, mail order plant company, starting in Detroit. You see companies like Skillo, which is a training app that businesses use, and Allergy, which is kind of cool. I have allergies, and so like I carry around an EpiPen. But as people,
We had the founder of Allergy on the show.
Oh yeah, so. Okay, yeah, of course. But yeah, it's really cool because then you know you don't usually want to carry around your EpiPen, and so it's kind of like a cool device. So we've highlighted a couple of these companies in the report, as well as just looking at the industries that we're seeing emerge and a lot of the, you know, things that are going on over the last 5 years. So.
Now, I started my career in Silicon Valley at a newspaper out there, and the thing out there is, well, if a business fails, no big deal. You just walk down the street to the next business and, you know, start over again. Are we getting to that point yet, or is that still not yet?
I think we are starting to reach a more of a density like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing that... you know, in the last couple of years, we've had a little bit of a capital availability issue
mm-hmm.
in Michigan, where a lot of the venture capital firms are working really hard to fundraise additional rounds. Arboretum just had a really successful fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been a pretty significant gap between the amount of capital needed by startup companies in
mm-hmm.
Michigan and the amount of capital available for new investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that... that we are starting to see that the companies that are starting up have been able to raise, you know, earlier rounds and then are able to raise follow-on funding
mm-hmm.
That they need to continue growing their companies. And
mm-hmm.
we are seeing a lot of, like, stickiness
mm-hmm.
with the companies that are starting up in Michigan.
Sure.
I think we're also seeing a lot of people come back from California, back from Boston, or Chicago even,
mm-hmm.
To start companies here because they're kind of hearing about the buzz going on in Detroit.
Well, not to mention that in all those locations you just mentioned, you know, a house is going to cost you $1 million or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we touch on that on the report also, is just, you know, quality of life and the cost of living
mm-hmm.
in Detroit is still very affordable compared
mm-hmm.
to a lot of these other high-tech hubs.
Right.
And so your dollar goes a lot farther. People are, especially people who are originally from Michigan, are
right.
wanting to come back to be near
family
and,
Four Seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Jazz, right?
I know, people do love Four Seasons.
Yeah.
If you're in LA for one summer, you're just like, why?
Yes. Well, yeah. I spent a lot of time in California and Washington State, so 10 years on the other coast. So, yeah, it's... But I came back, partly family, you know. I mean, I've seen lots of entrepreneurs, they reach their 40s or something and go, let's go home, you know. I mean, before you didn't really have a good excuse because, well, there wasn't much going on for a technologist.
Yeah.
And now that's all changed. I mean, even Grand Rapids, I don't know if you've taken a look at the Grand Rapids market.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Grand Rapids, and it was, you know, when I went to Grand Rapids Junior College in the 70s, there was nothing downtown except bad things, you know, kind of like Times Square in the 70s. And it's amazing how that's changed, too.
Yeah, so. I think that across Michigan, there tends to be, of course, like the longstanding density within the Ann Arbor region.
Right.
But we're seeing about 50% of the activity is in Ann Arbor. But a lot of times the companies are then opening. So Duo, for example, or May Mobility,
right.
they have offices. Their original headquarters is in Ann Arbor, but they have offices now in Detroit, and then Grand Rapids as well. And we tend to see about 26% of the companies are in Detroit, and then about another 25% are in Grand Rapids as well, and a lot of activity is going on there.
Yeah, one of the things I saw a few years ago was a lot of the tech operations out of Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids coming into Detroit. Now, that was not always a successful strategy in the past. Yeah. A lot of Grand Rapids companies thought, we'll just go to Detroit, and or vice versa. The Detroit company is going to Grand Rapids. But I think some of those political issues and things like that are all gone away, and now it's just everybody, let's figure out a way to make money in technology, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are still some issues, but I think that the community in Detroit is really quality, and a lot of people, I mean, it's like that in the Midwest generally, but I think in Detroit there is like a lot of people holding up other people and a lot of resources available, a lot of tech companies partnering with local organizations to work out hiring strategies and figure out what resources they need to provide in order to really enable enable people that already are residents of Detroit to be trained up to work at the different companies that are starting. And I think that's going to be a real key for Detroit to focus on going forward is that making sure that they are building the community in a really inclusive manner that is able to not, it's not just people moving to Detroit that are starting companies and not just people that are, you know, being brought in by those companies. So LinkedIn, for example, opened up an office in Detroit and they've tried to make a real effort to partner with local organizations in order to like hire people that are from Detroit, not bring in their people from Chicago and wherever else. And so
Rob Palmer, I think, runs that office, doesn't he?
I'm not sure who runs the office, but I was just on a panel with one of the people that's really focused on their HR strategies and building their office. And he was talking about a lot of the things that they were doing. And I think they recognize that it's like been, it's going to be difficult. And I think that's something that a lot of companies are just like, well, why isn't it easy to be build an inclusive workforce? And so I think that they're really trying a lot of strategies in order to help be
which segues nicely into the next point. You did a diversity study as part of this, didn't you?
So we're finding that, so out of the 37 companies, only 7 are run by people of color. So it's something that over the last 5 years we've looked at every single year. And I would say that the first 3 years, it was pretty much, you know, don't really mention it. Last year, we sort of noticed a little bit of an uptick. And then this year, we have 7, except clearly that doesn't represent the same percentages of the population. So
especially
it's like,
in Detroit.
So there's a 79% African-American black population in Detroit. And you're seeing that there's probably 80% of the venture capital community and the tech community is white. So white men specifically.
Yeah, I was going to say the next issue would be there aren't that many women at the top of organizations either.
Yeah, and it's, you know, 50% women. And
50% plus, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, I think that those are things that the tech community brought nationally, globally, is trying to focus on. It hasn't done a really great job of in the past.
Well, there's a transition going on. I mean, the baby boomers still are kind of in control. Now the Gen X's are coming up. And then, of course, the millennials will be a whole different thing with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Let's talk a little bit about entry point. No, I guess we covered all the points. Let's do a shameless plug for Entry Point.
We're working on a couple cool things. We're going to be doing the Michigan Venture Capital Association report again, which starts up again pretty soon here. But we're also, the big thing to mention is that we're helping Invest Detroit with Accelerate Michigan. So really helping them build out the strategy for that competition and spread the word about it. So the big thing there is that on August 16th is the deadline for registration. Also, it's free application to the competition until the 16th. And then after that, it's goes up to $100.
Another good reason.
But people have to register in order to apply. So registration August 16th.
And then actually, I'm going to apply this year. I've got a new video cloud-based really a platform. Timber Shea talked me into applying.
Yeah.
And so
no, everybody should apply. And then even if you're thinking that it's something that could potentially apply to you that you want to like see where it goes, the application and registration process is so streamlined that you should just do it because it's not a huge time commitment in order to.
But the end of the month, then you got to have an executive summary together or what? What isn't there a second step by the end of the month? Do you have a fuller plan?
So it's the registration deadline is August 16th, and then the application deadline is August 31st.
Got it.
Yeah, and both of those are online, and you can find a ton of information about them on acceleratemichigan.org.
Okay.
But yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about entry point itself. Yeah. I know you're partnered with a lot of the players in the entrepreneurial space.
Yeah.
We do it 1 minute. Oh, you got 1 minute to cover it. I'm getting the 1 minute sign here.
Yeah, I think just generally, you know, the community here is so tight knit and so leaning on a lot of different people that are in the ecosystem in order to like help promote entrepreneurship in Michigan. And then we've done a lot of research in Ohio as well and are sort of focused a little bit more Midwest wide. We're starting to work a little bit with Michigan House because they do that, the big installment at South by Southwest every year.
Putting some things together
to help attract people to Michigan. So a lot of like really cool things on the horizon.
Yeah. Okay. And if they want to learn more about Entry Point, give us that website address.
EntryPointMI.com is where you can find a lot of the research reports we do and get information about a lot of the events we're working on.
It's Emily Heinz, and she's Entry Point, so many things, Amic, you know, we have all these different things going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, stand by. And so we're going to come back with Amanda Roroff, and she's going to tell us all about the Planet M grants that were just issued last week.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launch pad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, we're back. Fourth segment on M Squared TechCast, which is now MI Tech News TV. Yes, we have evolved. People didn't think we would, but we did. And Matt Rausch is out today, so I'm flying solo, and I have Amanda Roroff with me. Amanda and I have known each other through many iterations. You were at Next Energy for a long time, and I met you before then. I can't remember exactly where you were.
Well, I was with Next Energy for close to 10 years.
Maybe that's
since 2008, and we worked really closely with DTE and the utilities, looking at V2X technology.
Sure.
So, yeah, spent quite a bit of time working with various partners on the local level, state level, as well as federal.
And now she works for, it's called Planet M, Planet Mobility, at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. And she's going to pull her laptop over so she can put a shameless plug for Planet M. That's okay. We let people do that here. Well, we had some exciting news last week at the Car Center Management Briefing Seminars. Governor Whitmer announced the 6 winners, I believe, for the Planet M grant program. Now, this may be the first time anyone's ever heard of this.
Sure.
So let's start right at the beginning. What is the Planet M grant program?
Of course. And first of all, the logo on the computer was not intentional. That was accidental.
Okay.
Although it works. All right. But essentially, for those that are not aware, Planet M is part of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. We are the mobility arm, if you will. We started out as a brand for the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. We are still a marketing campaign for the state, promoting all of the great things happening
here.
The
previous administration?
It was, yeah. So it was launched about 3 years ago, announced at Mackinac Policy Conference in 2016.
Right.
It quickly evolved, though, into a business development tool for the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So one of the complementary services that we offer today is around pilot deployment and technology activation, which is the space where I spend most of my time and days on today. So, yeah, so we're quite pleased to have the continued support of the current administration. And Governor Whitmer, and last week, as you said, did announce six new pilot grant awardees, which I think we're going to talk about here today.
Yep. I looked them over. There's some interesting ones in there. You even had one from the UK. And I was intrigued as I was reading the descriptions about why they came to Michigan. I had to laugh because part of the reason they came is because they wanted to test it in winter driving conditions.
That's right. That's right.
I go, well, you found the perfect place for that, right? You know, so
they have. They have. And so, the reason we started this grant were twofold, really. So is to be able to test, for companies to be able to test and access our state-of-the-art test sites here in the state of Michigan, as well as deploy their technology here in the state as well. So on the test side, which is not necessarily what we announced and talked about last week, but I think it's important to reiterate, we have partnerships with M-City at University of Michigan, American Center for Mobility, Kettering University, and Michigan Tech University. And then most recently, we announced a partnership with the Michigan Unmanned Aerial Consortium. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that because one of those six awardees is with MUASC. So we're really excited about that. But I think one of the important things to note is that as we talked to companies and why we started this grant, there were a couple barriers. One was just cost to test. So we will fund up to 75% of the cost to test. And we will fund up to 75% of the cost to deploy as part of the pilot that we're going to talk about today. But one of the things, other things we hear from companies is barrier to entry is being able to have a proof of concept to deploy the technology, prove it out to potential investors and partners. So that's why we thought it was so important. And so we partnered actually with Next Energy, my former employer. Yeah. And so they're the fiduciary as part of the grant as well as the project manager. So once we actually award a company, we tell them you're good to go. Congratulations. The Next Energy takes over and helps with the scope of work and milestones and deliverables and pays out. So,
if I recall, Next Energy is now part of TechTown, right?
Well, they are still their own identity, a nonprofit. They are now part of the kind of the Wayne State University TechTown campus,
right?
Because Wayne State University did, in fact, buy their campus. I think about a year ago.
Yeah,
or
it seems like
So they've got a lot of activity there. I know there was a recent announcement with the Michigan Mobility Institute as well. So a lot of activity in that space over there. So exciting part of Midtown to be in today.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk a little bit about people probably want illustrations of who are the, well, that UK company. Start with them.
Yeah, they're, you know, I hate to say favorites, right? But Propalme, I've been talking to, I met them in March of 2018. They came to the U.S. as part of a UK delegation that the MEDC and other partners brought here. This particular company stood out as a pretty interesting company. At that point, they were very early in their testing. But essentially what they do is, and yes, as you mentioned, they want to come to Michigan to test in our winter conditions. But they also understand the value of being here in the Michigan ecosystem. So that's why I'm really excited to announce that this grant will help accelerate and launch them into the Michigan ecosystem here. So they're excited. They understand the value of being here, the automotive ecosystem, the entrepreneurial support ecosystem that even I know some of your past guests have talked about as well, just even today. So really, though, theirs is an autonomous driving solution that does not require prior mapping. So it's pretty unique space. You know, there's a couple that you hear about rumblings, but they have proven out the technology already in the UK, and they're excited to bring it here. So they're still looking for a home and where they're going to set up shop. They do need some garage space. So we have a couple ideas of where they might land once they officially move here. But they're going to be testing statewide. So keep an eye out for some of those Propalme vehicles.
Yeah, I can see them being in the Upper Peninsula, where we think winter's bad down here.
Right.
Oh, my God, right up there. So who else you got on the list?
Well, the next one that I think is also exciting is the first grant recipient as part of the Michigan Unmanned Aerial Consortium. So MUASC is the acronym. So I don't have to keep saying that long acronym. MUASC, they awarded Aviopt. So we've been talking to Aviopt for some time. They came to us several months ago, maybe even close to a year ago that we've been talking to them. And, you know, they wanted to deploy their technology. But as you know, there's a lot of complications. As soon as you put something in the the air.
Right.
FAA, all kinds of guidelines. So we decided, you know, we're not going to try and be experts in an area that we're not necessarily directly experts at. So let's partner with the experts. So for the same reason we partnered with Next Energy, we partnered with MUASC.
Right.
So Aviopt is the first grant recipient. What's really unique is they've partnered with a couple unique companies. So Atlas Space Operations, MDOT, Michigan Department of Transportation, Consumers Energy. I always want to say DTE. I forget. West side of the state, Consumers Energy, and Michigan Tech University as well. So essentially with wireless testing, and this can apply to any type of a wireless vehicle, but typically it's wireless and radar. In this case, they're actually testing satellites to pick up that drop signal. So right now, and they're in the simulation phase, and we expect them to actually go into full deployment very soon.
Okay. What else we got?
Next one up is GoKid. So this is a New York-based company that went through TechStars Detroit couple of years ago. So I actually have been, I've got to know GoKid when I was at Next Energy. Stephanie Lemke, the CEO and founder, really dynamic woman. So she's been trying to find a way in the right partnerships here in the state of Michigan to deploy her solution. So essentially it's a software solution that will enable, and it's going to be deployed in Detroit and Southeast Michigan. She doesn't have signed contracts with those districts and schools yet, so I can't say who yet.
Okay.
That's a look for coming soon. But she's really excited, and we're really excited, because this provides a new solution for those that don't necessarily have access to transportation. So getting to school on time, less and fewer
like
tardiness.
Shuttle kind of thing, right?
It is, but it's utilizing a safe, secure, trusted network of the parents in that school or that district. So what's really nice is it's people you know that have children in school with you that are getting your kids to point A and B. It also will encourage after-school activities as well, which is also a big issue. I know the Wilson Foundation has put out a report in the last couple of years about the lack of activity, physical activity. So this solution will also enable reduced congestion, all of those great things, but also get kids moving and get them to after school activities.
Yeah, makes sense.
So next up is Intevo. This is also an exciting opportunity, and this is in Ann Arbor, part of the larger connected vehicle pilot.
What's the ones that, and we have lots of pedestrians with their nose buried in smartphones in Ann Arbor, and this is supposed to identify them so they don't get hit by cars.
That's absolutely accurate, and it can push a notification to drivers, nearby drivers. What's unique about this solution, there are some solutions that exist that do that today. They actually can alert a little bit sooner, a little bit earlier. So it really is supposed to help. Clearly, it's a real epidemic, as we know. We've hearing about it recently about people walking with their nose in their cell phones.
So I live in Ann Arbor, and so I'm amazed more people don't get killed. I really am. So, because they'll just, you watch them walking down the sidewalk, and they never look both ways. They just step into the street.
No, and I have to say, I've been guilty of it myself. And I try, knowing because of the work that I do, I try and be a bit more aware and less nose and phone, and be more engaged with our surroundings. And honestly, you know, that's a big part of, you know, what the focus of this grant is to improve quality of life for Michiganders. You know, some of these grants are very short-term solutions. Some are longer-term solution that will enable future technologies that will improve that quality of life. So, but that's why we're doing this grant, because we think it's so important to be able to identify those solutions here in the state, whether it's local, like I said, or kind of more of a statewide problem, enable to identify the solutions and deploy them here, test them here, tweak them here, and then make these solutions so they are scalable globally. So we want companies to be able to grow and scale here in the state of Michigan as well.
Two more to go, right?
Two more. So Aerotronic. So Aerotronic is going to be testing with DTE Energy. And essentially that is be able to look at pull top data, and ultimately so it can do so wirelessly in such a way through their technology. Eventually it'll be embedded into drone technology so that all of the utilities can actually have wireless detection and predict, so we don't have even the big fire that just took place in the West Coast. You know, if PG&E had been able to detect that sooner, they could have prevented that fire. So this is the type of technology that will be able to enable that. And there are ultimately other solutions and ways that this can be deployed later on as well. And then last, certainly not least, is a company called Activate. And they partner with SAF Holland, who's a large trucking company. And it's a tire inflation service. And it takes it a step further, frankly, And it says, and unlike in traditional systems today that increase the tire pressure, their system can electronically inflate all tires. I want to make sure I get this right. Electronically inflate all tires to optimize tire contact on the road. So it's also an energy efficiency.
Yeah,
play
I was going to say running with soft tires burns a lot of extra fuel.
So. Exactly. Exactly.
And it's not safe. I mean, you want to have nice flat on the surface versus rounded or, you know, the other way.
Exactly. Right. You know, so. And we do know that we have some challenges with our roads here in the state of Michigan. Yes. So this is also a great pilot to be able to look at some other solutions as well while we are in the process of identifying ways to fix our roads.
I'm getting the 3-minute sign from Jessica. So let me talk a little bit. I know this is the third year you've done this. The fourth year is coming up in October 1st, right?
So it'll be 4 years. Yeah, we're rounding out the end of year three of Planet M. Okay. Yes, of this initiative. The grant has only been around since October 1st of 2018. So the grant itself is we're this round three of the grant is wrapping up year one.
Right.
And so we will be looking at round four pretty soon. So the deadline for applications for the pilot side is October 1st of 2019. Companies will be notified about 6 to 8 weeks after that. Usually the way that the process works is we receive the applications, we evaluate, make sure all the criteria, basic criteria has been met. We push those applications out to an exterior or external, if you will, review committee. So we have about 15 individuals in the public and private sector who help us evaluate all of these proposals. So they send us their reviews and their scores and their comments back. We spend an all-day session ourselves, the Planet M team and the Next Energy team, and we review all of the scores, all of the comments, and do our own legwork to really understand what some of those challenges are. So it's a very extensive process. We've probably received close to, I should probably know this number, but I would say close to 100 applications. We've only awarded 14. So it is pretty competitive. We have awarded in this calendar year, in this fiscal year, about $1.3 million.
That's great.
Yeah. And we are, you know, certainly there are some unknowns at this point, but we are hoping to be able to fund this grant at same or similar levels in FY19.
Why don't we, since I'm getting, 1 minute mark. Okay. So why don't you give the website address where people can apply for the next round?
Absolutely. So if everybody wants to go to planetm.com/grants. planetm.com/grants. All the information is there. You'll actually find out information about some of the other programs that are happening as well.
Okay, well, that's Amanda Roroff, who's with Planet M, also with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. I'm sure you've all heard of that. And Jeff Mason's a good buddy of mine as well. And so we want to thank you for being on the show today. And we'll all be, well, we may not be back next week. Mike may be taking a vacation because summer is waning quickly, and I haven't taken a vacation
yet. You need a vacation.
I need a break, yes, before the September climb start, shall we say. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on M Squared TechCast, now part of MI Tech News TV. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.